looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello. Merry Christmas, one and all. Reading won yesterday. Welcome to the Umpire Rules podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Best street food in Reading. Been joined today by David Santa Claus Stevens. Dave, how are you?
Feeling festive after yesterday.
And also been joined by Merry Matt Lansley.
Merry Matt Lansley. Yeah, no, good. Very good.
I would even merrier after. Would have appreciated more credit on that. That took me at least 15 seconds to come up before we started. So.
Pretty good.
I'm quite impressed. I'm quite impressed.
How are we both after Reading's 2-0 victory yesterday, Matt?
Fantastic. I mean, Saturdays, Saturday evening, Saturday night, Sunday mornings, weekends are just better when Reading win, aren't they? And yesterday was just such a fun day, seemingly. You had a lot of kind of nostalgia coming out. The game was pretty comfortable, or as comfortable as probably would ever see a Reading FC win at the moment. Yeah, it was a brilliant way to, I think, open the festive period for, I think, all people connected with Reading FC.
And Dave, you've joined us over in maybe not sunny. I was going to say sunny Berkshire, but it really isn't that sunny at the minute, is it? You've joined us over in Berkshire. Sunny.
Oh, yeah, I the first part is correct. Yes, I have joined you in Berkshire. Yeah, very, very pleasant welcome home from the club, dispatching Wigan. I wouldn't say I was confident going into the game because who amongst us are, but yeah, very, very enjoyable watching it and not just seeing it on a laptop.
I was actually quite confident going to the game tomorrow, yesterday. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was everything when I looked into Wigan on the preview and everything, but something about yesterday, I just had a good feeling that we were gonna pull out a result, and I have not had that for quite some time going to Reading.
You didn't have that against Carlisle last month, no?
No, not especially.
I guess. I was sure we were going to lose to Carlisle because everyone said we were going to win, and we all remember Fleetwood, so. Yeah, Carlisle was a lovely surprise, albeit from afar.
Well, we lined up yesterday with, I mean, I guess the lineup yesterday was a little bit surprising, Dave, because Andy Geardom was completely out in Bengue coming in for him. But for me, the main shock actually was that Tom Holmes was named captain yesterday ahead of Nelson Abbey. I guess technically Tom Holmes is still the vice captain at the club, but it seemed a little surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, it makes logical sense, as you say, but I feel like there's been at least one occasion where Abbey wore the armbands, Yadam came on, and Abbey just kept the armband. Not every time, but I feel like it was one game where that happened. So I don't think they were really playing by the rules up until this point. But, I mean, you can't deny that his return to the side has not been a coincidence that we've done a little bit better at the back. So just reward for him, I guess, reinstated.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've definitely looked more stable since he's come back in the last 4 or 5 games now. Haven't just looked like completely collapsing when teams have come at us really on the ball. And Matt, the one criticism that really rounded on Selez, particularly in kind of September and October, was around the fact that he tinkered with his lineup every game, despite having the same formation. He didn't really know what his best 11 was. He couldn't decide what it was. But I think this might be the third or fourth game where we've only made one change to the lineup now. And even yesterday's one, it seems like it must have been enforced because Andy Yeardon was kind of out with a small injury, which he's now 50-50 to be back for Peterborough. So it feels like he's probably got a starting 11, which he's now happy with, you know, kind of maybe barring one or two names which could be rotated in and out.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's always good to have, you know, those one or two potentials that could come out and, you know, fit for rotation. But, you know, I think you've got the core of the team now, haven't we? I mean, I think maybe you could maybe say that final piece of the puzzle might have been, you know, Holmes at the back, you know, coming in now as well, because I think people were still maybe a little bit sure about the Bindon Abbey kind of partnership. But since Holmes has, you know, come back, and I mean, I think yesterday could be a really big one for him as well, because like you say, coming in as captain and having, you know, another really solid performance, clean sheet as well. You know, first time since forever, seemingly. I think, what was it, Burton? I think at home, the 0-0 was the last, you know, we got, which it's just reassuring to see that. But reassuring just to see a consistent lineup. You know, we pretty much know who we're going to be seeing on the weekend. That's good. That's good for fan confidence and will be good for the players on the pitch as well. Now they can really look to, you know, start to move forwards. You know, we've seen some good performances, you know, over the past few weeks, and now they've got the consistent lineup, time to kick on over the Christmas period, New Year period, and try and clamber out of this relegation scrap.
It's funny because we're sitting here discussing, you know, oh, it's great to have a consistent lineup and performances should improve and this, that, and the other. And then the first 15 minutes yesterday, Dave, it was tragic. It was so bad. The passing was abysmal. The shape was abysmal. I mean, Dorset on the left-hand side just gave their right back literally the freedom of Reading. Had so much space every single time for that first 15 minutes. And yet, I don't really think Wigan actually created anything up until they had a set piece where David Button got injured in the 16th minute. And it almost felt like David Button had, you know, created his own Dai Yong out protest at that point with that break. but yeah, Reading were not strong starters yesterday.
That could have just, quick one, that could have been a fantastic piece of game management by Button to just go down there and take that break, because it did change things.
That's another piece of praise for Button from Matt Lansing.
We're getting there. Yesterday was a good day for Mr. Button.
I definitely think that if you had, you know, taken us back to those first 10-15 and said, oh, reasonably comfortable 2-0 win at the end of this, you wouldn't have believed it. Headless chickens, poor decisions, terrible passing. It kind of felt like Wigan were on top, but to your point, they seem to struggle as much as we have in previous weeks to actually create anything from that dominance. So, perhaps if the opposition quality had been a bit higher, we would have got into a bad state in that first bit, because they did not look settled whatsoever.
Yeah, I think the only real moment was that set piece, that minute 16 with the Button game management. I hesitate to call it an injury because I'm really not sure it was an injury. And it almost felt like he went down softly, I would say. But he looked like a headless chicken at this set piece, because it was fortunate that Wigan didn't create anything here. Matt, the corner comes over from the Wigan left, and Button sort of comes out for the ball, doesn't come out for the ball, and then goes back, and then he kind of gets stuck in no man's land. And I think the Wigan player runs into him, and he goes down injured, and there's a break in play.
Yeah. You're trying to get some criticism out of me here for Button, aren't you? I mean, we've said it week on week, haven't we? Coming for crosses is not his strong point, and does cause a lot of problems. You know, we're probably a bit lucky, as you say, yesterday at that point. But I think really the good point though was that, you know, they were able to, you know, weather this storm. There was far too much space out on the wings. I think they were their wing backs, I think, because they were playing, I think, three at the back yesterday. And every single time there was that space out wide, Dorset, like you say, was being just exposed left, right and centre. But at that break of play, Sellers brought everyone over, and it was actually a really good, potentially, piece of management by Sellers. He changed something. Dorset seemingly was sticking a lot closer on the outside after that. So, you know, Sellers, I think, made those changes at the right time, and it really kind of influenced that first half, really, and kind of nullified that good start that Wigan had.
I mean, one of the quotes that Sellers had after the game was, after the first 15 minutes, for the last half an hour of the first half and basically the whole of the second half, is that we dominated the game completely. And I think he's right, we did. Because after that first 15 minutes, it wasn't all Reading in the sense of we created 25 shots and loads of chances, but the ball just didn't come out of the Wigan half at all, Dave, for the rest of the half. Aziz got the opening goal after 35 minutes or so. I actually think Aziz had a pretty good game. He creates an awful lot on that right-hand side. Like, having him playing much wider than he was doing at the start of the season has helped him immensely. He looks like not a completely different player, because he still has those moments where he takes an awful touch or the end pass is poor, but he looks much more confident in himself. And the goal was a great strike.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be two-faced for me not to say that before he scored, I had a pretty healthy mix of comments negatively towards him yesterday. So I will admit that he did frustrate me a bit early on. Still some of his decision-making, some seemingly obvious passes not being made or not being made correctly, things like that. But to be fair to him, when it mattered, he was right on it. He had a good chance before he scored, where the ball came out to him on the edge of the box, I think it was, or just inside the box. And he took the chance to hit it first time, didn't dither about it, didn't bring it down. He just hit it first time. And there was actually a very good block from the Wigan defender to put it out for a corner. So you got a little hint that maybe he was a bit more switched on with his shooting today. And then, well, that was me talking yesterday. Obviously, it was yesterday. But yeah, the actual finish was out of nowhere. It was one of those where you weren't kind of like, go on, go on, and then it goes in. We were watching it. It looked like nothing was on. And he's just lashed it beyond the keeper, who was Mr. Tickle. We have to mention him because of his name. Mr. Tickle looked very sad with his defence for letting him shoot from there. But what a finish. Absolute banger in the definition of the word.
His long arms did not help him there whatsoever. You're right. It's a really good finish by Aziz. It's a striker goal, isn't it? It's one of those like Alan Partridge, just foot like a tractor engine.
One of the really nice things about that goal, though, as well, is actually how quickly we transition from defence into attack. I think it was about 17, 18 seconds from when Abby wins the ball at the back, plays it out to Aziz, brilliant turn, and Aziz's directness really actually kind of drives the team forwards. Yes, I guess you could say we get a bit lucky with Aziz doing a bit of an Aziz and just passing it straight to a defender rather than the player that's unmarked. The quickness we won it back with, again, Wing deserves a lot of credit there. Smith fizzes the ball over, and before you know it, it's then in the back of the net from there, from a lovely, we'll call it a layoff from Wing back to Aziz. But just seeing that transition of play was just so nice, and the fluidity of it as well. Like, I know kind of it's been one thing that Sellers has wanted, you know, this quick, fast-moving, fast-flowing, attacking kind of, or counter-attacking football. I guess, you know, you saw quite a bit of it in that one move that was really, really nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, not all of our moves are like that, certainly. Some of the moves are kind of up over the top, but it's good to see us being able to counterattack with a bit of purpose and a bit of kind of pace. Because even though the ball kind of just falls to Aziz at the edge of the box, it had been worked out to the edge of the area, and Wing, you know, I think he was trying to work some space for himself to be able to either lay the ball back out wide or shoot himself. And actually, it just fell to Femi Aziz more than anything.
You wouldn't be crediting him with the assist there, then?
I mean, I think he's going to get given an assist, isn't he? But I don't quite know how much he meant to do that. But you know. Fair play to Wing. He still gets the assist. So still goes up one on his tally, doesn't it? And the rest of the... I mean, I don't think after that there was really anything that Wigan offered for the remainder of the first half. I watched the rest of the first half thinking, actually, we could quite comfortably go in at 2-0 here. We look like the team on top. And it never really felt troubling after that point, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely... From the goal to the halftime whistle, you almost felt like if this keeps playing, we might get another. I think that the remainder of the game was just frustration after frustration for the Wigan fans. It's not like they didn't have chances to create something. They just didn't create it. And I think that we've been on the other side of some of those performances in recent years, and you know that feeling. But they had a couple of players that were always finding space, but balls going into where their fans were, actually in that far corner by the corner flag, rather than anywhere near the 6 yard box or the goal itself. So not much to worry about after that, and how nice it is to say that after experiencing the opposite for so long.
Yeah, there was only really one moment in that first half where I thought, ooh, you know, we might have, on another day, we might have got away with one there. And that was Wyke's header. I think it was coming towards the end of the first half. Wyke peels away from Abbey. It's the one thing I think Abbey, again, like we're going to have it, you know, with young centre-backs. He loses his, well, he loses his man there in Wyke, and it just leaves an unmarked header. But I mean, the header, it almost goes out for a throw-in, I think, from Wyke. It was a dreadful attempt, I think, from him. But yeah, it was that was really the only kind of piece of play, really, where I felt worried with Wigan yesterday. It was I can kind of see after yesterday, we talked about it in the preview, why they're bottom of the one of the most overachieving sides, I think, in the championship. With
they
their,
just don't create, do they?
They don't. Really? They don't create much. They have a lot of shots from 20, 25 yards as well. Which, to be honest, if you're going to limit people to strikes, that's where you want to limit them to. You know, I think they only had 3 or 4 shots in total in the box in the whole game. You know, so again, props to the defenders again, Holmes and Abbey, you know, for restricting him to that. But yeah, you know, half time came and it was all nice and comfortable.
You know what? You discussed Tom Holmes, and props to Tom Holmes. Yeah, because yesterday I think he had a really good game once again, and I think he's solidified his place in the team now. I can't see a reason for him to be dropped or taken out of the side currently. He's playing at a level which kind of shows that he's the experienced, in inverted commas, one out of the two. And I think the change from Bindon to Holmes has made a big difference. And that's not to say that Bindon is a bad player, but previously Abbey was meant to be the, I guess, experienced player, despite actually not having any experience at all, and him leading Bindon. Whereas now it feels a bit more like Holmes is there to protect Abbey, as if that's the way that you would look at it, Dave.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's if it comes down to just skill and technique, much of a muchness. Like, there's no problems with Bindon or Abbey in terms of their athleticism, their abilities, everything else. A lot of the difference maker in this league seems to be knowing what to do, where to be, and that experience. And Tom Holmes has done it at one level higher. And I think that's coming through. A little bit older, a little bit more know-how, played alongside some slightly more experienced folks. So, it's definitely not a slight on Bindon to say that Tom Holmes coming in and replacing him has been a positive, because in any normal functioning football club, Bindon wouldn't have been thrown into the first team like he has been here. So definitely no hate to him.
I think the one thing about Holmes that I've noticed, especially the last month now, is his reading of the game is actually pretty strong, Ramsley. He seems to be able to position himself to cover, not mistakes necessarily, but to cover through balls, to cover, you know, balls that are just deflected off players, etc. And I still worry about him, like, man-marking people. I think he's very handsy. Like, he looks like he's, you know, almost wrestling players at points. But when the ball is on the floor, I don't really have a worry about him particularly now.
No, and I'm really quite glad you mentioned that, because I was gonna say something similar. You know, it's even the really simple things when a through ball comes through, and it's just the knowing of when to leave that to just go to your goalkeeper, or just when to block the player off so it just rolls through to the goalkeeper, and so you're not having to take a touch there, which then could play you into trouble, because now you've moved out, you're on your left foot, your weaker side, or, you know, you're going back towards the corner flag. You know, it's just that calmness to actually know what to do in that position. But I think, you know, you saying that, you know, it's shielding Abby as well, I think it's very fair as well. And we were really wanting to have an experienced kind of centre back in there. You know, we weren't really sure who to go to, you know, because realistically we thought the only option might have been Harley Dean, because, you know, that whatever the fallout was, you know, earlier in the season with Holmes, what had caused that, you know, we didn't know. But the fact he's come in and he's showing, you know, those levels that we saw, you know, start of last season, the season prior, where we thought, you know, this guy could be a relatively solid centre back in the Championship. You know, we were thinking he could be, you know, like a, you know, a Jake Cooper or Alex Pearce type level player. And, you know, I guess he's, you know, coming back and showing that. What'd be interesting to know is kind of what's kind of caused this, you know, for him, and kind of this pick back up.
The one thing I was going to give as well was, it's credit to Sellers for actually, like, not going back on his word as such, but going back on his own thought process earlier in the season. Obviously, he dropped Holmes because he was playing badly. Maybe it was a falling out, don't really know. But seemingly, whatever it was, Sellers seems to have put it behind him, and Holmes seems to have put it behind him, which is great, great to see. So very pleased with that. Yeah, it would be good to know, but I don't think we're going to find out, are we? So second half, Dave, and Reading come out the blocks really quickly again, and we get the goal 5 minutes into the start of the second half. And it's this goal, we've just all been watching it just before we started, and we've all said this goal gets better every time you watch it.
Yeah, it really does. In the stadium, so obviously it's the other end from where we were, down in Y25. And I think that on the night, I thought, oh, wow, we got lucky there. He's gone up and he's got something on it and it's gone in. We needed that. That's great. Get that second goal. But watching it back from the different angles, there's a lot more skill and forethought to it than first realized, because the great ball in Mbengue, I believe. And as it falls, you can tell that Smith can see the movement of the keeper. He knows that the keeper is getting ready to go to the other side of the goal to cover. So he pokes it back across him, so he's got no chance of getting to it. And that's really intelligent play that, you know, we've been crying out for how long. It's a really, really good finish. And then the Sam Smith chance fun as well. So getting to hear everyone singing that after he popped it back past the keeper was a lovely, lovely addition to the evening.
The finish was actually, it wasn't even really on his toe, as far as I could see, Lance. It was kind of like at the outside of his foot. And he's done this a few times, not necessarily finished it with the outside of his foot, but he does bring the ball down on the outside of his foot when it comes over the top of him. He's got a very good kind of first touch on him, and he knows, I mean, not knows, but he can place the ball where he wants to, kind of with the whole of his foot, which, you know, sounds really basic and obviously something that professional footballers should be able to do, but actually they can't a lot of the time. So being able to, you know, finish with the outside of his foot like that is actually quite impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole awareness of his game, though, I think, as well, because, I mean, Dave, you mentioned it, you know, the ability for him to read where the keeper's going, that's a big part of this goal, you know, realistically. But it's the intelligence that Smith has that's, I think, so impressive. And the fact that he's coming up with frequent goals as well, you know, at the moment, he's, in reality, he's only been back for, what, you know, I think 13, 14 games now, you know, up and running on 5 goals now, I think, for the season. He's had a really good kind of start back at Reading, hopefully, you know, with this team starting to kick on now, because if you start giving him service, he's going to start scoring. So hopefully with that coming into play, Smith can really start kicking on. He might, obviously, you know, he's not going to be able to get 20 goals this season just because of the amount of games he's missed. But, you know, if he can get up to, you know, again, 12, 14 goals for this season, having missed, you know, 10, 12 games at the start of the season through injury, you know, that's going to be a big thing for him. But props to Smith as well to come back from probably his first big setback maybe of his career, injury-wise, at the start of the season, and to kick back on at a club that you started at. It was probably maybe a bit intimidating for him to do that, you know, coming back to Reading and kicking on. But we can all see why, you know, he's probably one of the top five or six strikers in this division, I might say. You know, at the moment, he's got the ability. Hopefully we can start seeing him with a bit more service, and, you know, those goals will start tallying up.
I mean, he's running at 1-2 almost. He's got five goals, as you said. He's only played 11 games so far in the league for us. So maybe 20 is probably out of the question, actually.
If he gets 20 goals, then that would be an unbelievable season. I wouldn't be like, I think if he equals like last year and the year before at Cambridge, you know, what was that? I think 13, 14 goals. If he gets to that, you know, I think
that's a decent season. If he gets, really, I think, good. If he gets 14 goals, I think it's a really good season for a player who misses the first quarter of the season, certainly. So, yeah, it's been a good start for Sam Smith, certainly. I mean, I'd love for us to sit and chat about the rest of the half, but I didn't really think Reading created loads in the second half particularly. The only moment really which probably touch on is one of the poorer moments from Nelson Abbey yesterday. Playing out a pass from a goal kick towards Harvey Nibbs, really inaccurate pass. Wigan get the ball back, play it back to Nelson Abbey immediately, who's kind of on the edge of the area. But he just divers with it here, I think, Matt. He divers with it, and David Button makes a save, and that's why I'm going to get you to speak about it.
This fabled moment that we've been waiting for so long. We've seen this a few times from Abbey, you know, where he's almost stepping on the ball. He doesn't quite know what to do with it in his feet. But this is why you have a goalkeeper in your team, right? He's there to make saves. And sadly, Button hasn't done that all too frequently up to this point. But yesterday, it was a fantastic save. And I wish he could do this on a weekly basis, because I don't want to be sitting here and commenting on his inability to come for crosses, or, you know, a goal that he's let through his legs, or a shot that he should really be saving that's not too hard. But I'd pretty much just resigned it to be 2-1 at that point. And so, you know, because I just didn't expect him to save it, but he got down really quickly to his right hand side, and it was a really strong hand away. You know, he doesn't knock it back into the box. It doesn't, he's got the Wigan striker just to his right. He doesn't just palm it straight to him. It's a really good save. It's a fantastic save. And really, that's what you need from your goalkeeper. You need your goalkeeper to come up with saves like that every now and again.
Big moments, right?
Exactly. Because that changes that changes the half. You know, that keeps it at 2-0. Wigan probably feeling a bit down, or a bit more down at that point. I think it was about 65, 70 minutes as well, that save that he made it. So, you know, they would have had plenty of time to potentially come back into it. And that save just makes it really a quite easy job for Reading to actually just then see out the game, which they do really, really comfortably. But yeah, props to Button on that one. You know, please let me do it more, David, because I don't want to be ragdolling you every single week. You know, I want to have a good keeper at Reading FC, because seemingly we have not had one for many, many years.
The rest of the second half, Dave, was comfortable as the first half was. And actually, the rest of the second half was, I'll be honest, it was actually just fun because it was comfortable. You know, the crowd enjoyed it. The crowd had fun with it. The old chants came out, obviously, typical Christmas chants with five Parkinsons coming out. We obviously heard the Bill Oddie chant yesterday as well for the first time in, it was like a long time, but first time we heard Bill Oddie for a while. And we also got to hear The Great Escape, which was nice.
Yeah, definitely was good vibes after that. I think there was a certain amount of the Christmas season, a certain amount of beautiful, stirring, isn't it? Certain amount of relief that we haven't made any mistakes, haven't thrown it away. This should be stirring. The way that I'm speaking right now, I feel like I should sit up more straight. the fond return of the old friend, Bill Oddie. And it went really quickly as well. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is that we weren't sat there checking the clock every 2 minutes, hoping that the whistle would go soon. It actually went really, really quickly. And as they say, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, I agree. The second half did go extremely quickly once we, you know, once we'd gone 2-0 up. It felt like it was over in no time at all, really, because nothing happened, it just felt like the game kind of petered out quite quickly. We didn't really ever get to a point where Wigan were throwing loads of men forwards and creating loads of chances. And I think it just basically gave the crowd the opportunity to enjoy and have fun, as it were, Matt. Felt like 1871. There was definitely some old heads in 1871 who decided to bring out those old chants. I'm a big fan of the fact that lots of people joined in with five Parkinsons as well.
Yeah. All of them, to be honest. And I think the biggest thing about it was, you know, often at the end of games, we've got nervousness within the crowd because we know what Reading kind of have done historically, not just this season, but seasons gone by, you know, the past two, three, four seasons. We've given away stupid goals, sloppy goals, lost last minute. That never felt like happening today. Yesterday, it really didn't. And that just gave the crowd a boost. And yeah, if we can have more end of the games like that, with the Great Escape ringing around, of course, you know,
I want them to play the Great Escape at the end of the game. Scrap the grandstand theme tune. It's so out of touch now. Grandstand hasn't been a TV show for 15, 20 years. It's very out of touch. Get the Great Escape going. When we get out of the relegation zone.
Yeah, Great Escape was even older than that, though, really, when you think about it. I don't know, but...
Irrelevant, though, right, to the situation. Like,
yes, yeah. It's relevant. It's not as out of touch. It feels like, you know, that's kind of what this season feels like at the moment. But the stadium just had a really nice vibe about it, or just a really kind of like Christmassy, relaxed, celebrationary kind of vibe, which is just something that we've not had seemingly at Reading for, you know, a good few years. You know, I guess maybe you might say, you know, at the end of the 22-23 season when we secured safety, you know, after Swansea, potentially, or further back. But it was just it was so nice just having that last 15 minutes. Yeah, because you feel like something's building with the team at the moment. You feel like there's actually something there. There's something that fans can start getting behind, you know, which everything will be easier once the ownership situation is sorted and that gets cleared out of the way. Because I think there's a really good core to this team, you know, and if they can start building on this and going forwards, you know, through Christmas, New Year, pick up some points quickly, they can really start to kick on.
When you look at the last six, we've picked up 11 points now in the last six, Dave. And then you look at the teams above us, or who are just above us in the table, at least. You've got Exeter, who they've plummeted like a stone. I don't even know when they last won a game, but they've only picked up 2 points, I think, in their last six games. Not even sure. I think they've only scored one goal in that time as well. So it feels like that's an ideal time to be playing them. On New Year's Day, Cheltenham is it's a tougher game. I think a lot of our fans might expect us to go to Cheltenham and win, but they've been a lot better in the last 10-12 games than they were in that start of the season. What's your kind of like points expectation total for these games up until New Year's Day with Peterborough away, Cheltenham away, and then Exeter at home?
Yeah, I think Peterborough away is the one I'm most concerned about, like most fans, I'm sure. We do not have a good record up there. They are on a rich vein of form, and, you know, us and away games, not the greatest. But if we could do something there, a draw, sneak a win, what it would do for the confidence would be huge. So I hope that they're going all out for it and they're taking that seriously. But, you know, I won't be devastated if something doesn't go our way there because, you know, it's the two ends of the table playing each other. So, yeah, let's say a cautious 1 point, maybe none from there. Cheltenham, we've got to go out and win that. I don't think it's going to be easy. I do think that there's the potential for that to be a difficult game, but... that has to be a target. They're so close to us in the table. It's, you know, the form is where we need it to be right now, going in the right direction. Let's double down and get that done. And then, yeah, New Year's Day, Exeter, if you play the team just above you in the league, you've got to go out and make sure that you get that done.
I think Exeter is a must win, Matt. Exeter is a must win. If we don't beat Cheltenham, now that we've beaten Wigan, I'm going to be a little bit less upset. I kind of always went with the, if we get 7 points from those three games, and I think that's a decent return. It's more not losing to Cheltenham, because then they close the gap and so on and so forth. Everybody gets it, I'm sure. But
a win for Cheltenham puts them above us. So, you know, just don't let that happen. Like say, it's a must not lose, I'd say, Cheltenham, because away from home as well, pick up a point. It's a good point.
Yeah. And then, as Dave says, the game against Peterborough, it's kind of one where if you pick up anything, it's going to be a kind of a difficult game to pick up even a point. But, you know, if slightly improved over the last month or so, maybe there's a chance we can get a point, but I'm not gonna hold out too much hope. As long as we don't go there and, you know, put in a completely embarrassing 3-4 or 5-0 kind of performance and it's competitive, then I'm kind of okay with that, I think.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to have a hammering, you know, 4-0 or something, you know, have another Blackpool moment or a Charlton moment, right? Avoid that, you know, as long as you're competitive, kind of, I guess, you know, like, you know, just keep it like the game in the summer. You know, it's a different time in the season and everything. I know that since that point, but, you know, Peterborough are a really good team. So, you know, you've got to take that into account. Of course, you want to win every single game, but, you know, we're down near the bottom. Free hit, yes, just don't take a hammering, you know, just try and continue this kind of good play that, you know, you're building on, and if you can then get a draw out of that, you know, brilliant. If you can get a win out of that, fantastic. But yeah, just don't, I'd almost just say, yeah, just don't get yourself hammered, don't fall 3-4-0 down, because I think then that's going to be the dampener, right? And then that can upset your preparation for Cheltenham, for Exeter. It might turn, you know, a bit of fans back against, you know, the manager and everything, which...
Is he winning fans over, do you think, at the minute?
I think so.
Over the last 6 weeks or so, do you think people are... Because obviously, I'd say end of October, he kind of lost 95% of the fan base, pretty much. Do you think he's winning back some of that fan base now, Dave?
I think people are warming back up to him. I think that when he came in, the general vibe was, you know, his hands are tied behind his back. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt and not judge him too harshly. But once you get, you know, 10, 15 games into the season, there's not a lot of that goodwill left, when a lot of what we were seeing that we didn't like were repeated instances of the same thing. It's like, okay, you can't really control the circumstances you're under, but you can control that. So I think he lost a lot of the fan base for that reason. But definitely since he's landed on this more settled lineup, just about, with the odd changes here and there, and we've seen much better performances, even if it's taken a little while for the results to come through, I do think that people are back to giving him a little bit of, okay, well, he's learned now, and he's definitely working under some rough circumstances, essentially. And that's potentially where we've gotten back in good favour.
I think that last thing you said, Dave, I think is the crucial thing, I think, for a lot of the fans. And that's the fact that he's seemingly learning from what maybe some of the pitfalls earlier in the season and things he got wrong earlier in the season. The, you know, maybe some of the... The player management.
Yeah, with rookie manager, though, isn't it? You're going to have somebody who comes in, and either they get lucky when they come in and they start winning straight away, or they don't. And, you know, Selez obviously didn't. And then you kind of find out what a manager is actually like after that, because you either find out that they are a stubborn bastard who decides that they're only going to stick to the one system that they play and that's it, or that they are going to try and succeed in management somehow and actually, you know, not just stick to that one system and actually work with what they've got and change up what they've got. And it reminds me, I mean, Sellers is kind of reign so far, it reminds me of the Brendan Rodgers era slightly, because when he came in and he had this, you know, this vision of how we were going to play, and actually the players that he had available to him couldn't play the style whatsoever. Where the difference obviously being that Brendan Rodgers never really switched away from the style of play that he wanted to play, whereas Sellers has kind of had to, I mean, he's not been forced to, but he has switched over from that you know, 4-2-2 narrow formation that we were playing, and now we're actually playing with a lot more width and, you know, a focal point, as it were, as well. I think that's seemingly the big difference.
I think one of the nicest thing as well is that kind of the team bond that he seems to be making as well. Because even, I mean, you saw it in the behind the scenes video that the club did, of the game against Wigan. Holmes seems, you know, really happy. All the players as well seem really happy, really content with each other. You know, the players were kind of pushing Sam Smith to the front, you know, taking the plaudits from, you know, Y25, 26 and Club 1871 at the end of the game yesterday. There seems to be a really nice kind of vibe around those players as well. And kind of for a manager to do that as well in the circumstances that he's battling with at the moment, you know, not just kind of himself, but for the team as well, you know, everything going on, that's really hard, but he's been able to maintain that. He's been able to learn from his mistakes earlier in the season. He's still probably going to make, you know, a few mistakes, you know, we'll make probably a lot of mistakes going forwards. Every manager, you know, does. But, you know, I think the fact that he has kind of come back from, you know, that period mid-September to kind of late October. And we do seem to have kind of something to hold on to now and kind of look to going forwards. And that's the nicest thing. And I think that's the thing that, you know, fans will probably most resonate to, you know, that ability to learn and the fact that he's, you know, now giving the fans something to hope for and something to back.
I agree. He's giving a little bit of promise and a little bit of hope there. Let's round it out. It is Christmas. I want to know from both of you, what Christmas food are you most looking forward to tomorrow?
For me, as Dave's deep in thought, he's it's an easy decision for me. It's pigs in blanket. No, there's nothing like pigs in blanket on a Christmas lunch. I know that's one for the carnivores out there, but yeah.
Roast potatoes every time. My kingdom for a properly done roast potato. Yeah, can't wait.
Good solid choice. What time were you?
What are you going for?
Oh, I'm a roast potato guy. Oh boy.
Nice.
What time will you be opening gifts? Will it be early?
First thing, yeah. No hanging about in this house.
No, it's after dinner. Yeah, you have a nice morning. You cook the dinner, and then you eat it. You feel like your stomach's going to blow out of your stomach. I said something twice there. It feels like it's going to explode, and then you open presents.
See, and this is why we podcast, everybody. So that you can hear these differences in family traditions. Hopefully you all have a good family Christmas at home, wherever you are. Enjoy yourself. Eat lots and drink lots and have a good time. And spend time with your loved ones. We'll be back on the 27th in a few days' time after the game against Peterborough. Until then, have a lovely Christmas. Thank you, Matt, for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, David, for joining me as well. David? I'll go with David for now.
I've been David twice on this podcast. Am I in trouble? Lovely to be here. Thank you.
Everybody listening, have a lovely Christmas. We'll speak to you all after Christmas. Until then, up the ding.